I'd like to transition now to a question and answer panel type discussion. Betsy, hopefully you're able to stay on. I know we don't have too much additional time, but there are several other questions that have come in here. Betsy, another question for you asks, one concern that has been expressed is the number of new regulations for growing crops that address only a small percentage of the potential problems that are out there. How do you see that playing out as we move forward under new regulations as well as just the general new environment that we're operating under?
So I guess the question is that they think the regulations don't cover all the risks. Is that the idea?
Well, the question asks that regarding the new regulations, that it seems as though that it only is addressing a smaller percentage of the potential problems that exist out there across many of the different kinds of food safety hazards and issues that you also identified in your presentation. And the question is, how are we going to address those other broader food safety kinds of concerns and points as far as risk to the food safety in a general way?
Well, I think I'm probably just going to add fuel to the fire and not really take a hose and put the fire out. I do think that we need to discuss food safety in a broader context, both from the sense of what is the actual risks, what are the risks we're trying to reduce, and how is the interplay? I mean, I think the earlier question about what do we do about our neighbors, when you look at the discussion of feedlots and pathogen movement off of feedlots, it now makes it more clear to everybody that we are in this together. And, for instance, a cattle feedlot located near your produce farm could be the end of growing fresh produce if pathogens are going to blow from that environment into yours and create a high risk. So one, I think we're in it together. In terms of what we're doing about it, in terms of research, I really point to the Center for Produce Safety that has really initiated, if you're not aware of the Center for Produce Safety, it's an industry and government-funded research group that hands out funds for doing applied research in this area. And I think we're seeing many good things come out of that. We're starting to clarify what are the risks we really should be worrying about, as opposed to do these 500 things and cross our fingers and hope we reduce risk. So I do think we are now on the part of the road where we can start focusing on where are the biggest risks and what do we make a big deal about. Now, that's from the science perspective. Let me say, buyers will require things that aren't necessarily supported by science sometimes because there's liability, and if anything is minutely a risk, it becomes an equal risk to something that's a big risk. And so we're always going to have to be balancing that, and hopefully we can do that without losing our minds.
Yes, that would be a hope, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure it's real, but...
Clearly, that's a challenge given all of the many things that we're facing at this point. So thank you for that response. It does help clarify. Shannon, a question here asks, for you, what role do you anticipate the regional centers for risk management education will play going forward in providing education on the details of the Farm Bill, insurance, and adjustments in the various risk management options that are open to producers across the country?
Yeah, thanks. That's an interesting, good question. The regional centers, we are committed to Farm Bill education through a number of activities. One, as mentioned, we're helping to organize and support the national conference meeting to provide that education. But also we're acting within each region to help foster that collaborative work across the region and across the states on these Farm Bill programs, both directly with the center and then also through our annual grant program. So that's one of the highlights of our next grant cycle. I'm sure we'll receive a number of Farm Bill education type grants to help educate producers on those program highlights. Also, just providing as an archive of information and supporting information through the Ag Risk Library, through Ag in Uncertain Times, any farm bill fact sheets, and work done to educate producers along those lines. And then on the insurance part, we work, I know for sure in the Western Center, we collaborate closely with the RMA agency. They're also based in Spokane, the regional headquarters. And so we have a very productive collaborative relationship between RMA and working and doing education. They do education and we do education. Sometimes we end up being able to both collaboratively work together on these different programs.
All right. Thanks for that great response. Betsy, another question for you. Asks, do you believe that the new food safety laws may end up crowding out some of the smaller producers who are not able to handle the so-called audit fatigue or the costs associated with the various testing and sanitary design issues? And will those producers have any chance or possibility of regulation relief in your mind?
Okay, so there isn't any audit fatigue associated with the regulation. So the regulation doesn't require you to have an audit. So I don't necessarily think it will be audits that drive them out from the regulation. I do think some of the provisions, the water testing, is a big one. Depending on what we see happen in the final rule, I want to stress that what we're looking at now is the proposed rule. Depending on what happens with the final rule, I do think some of that could pressure smaller growers, but then you can say they're exempt from the regulatory side. So where this could meet that could drive growers, small growers out, is if small growers were exempt from the regulation, but their buyers insisted they follow the regulation to the letter, it could put economic hardship on them, and they may have to move out of certain markets, which could impact their bottom line.
Right. Well, thank you for that clarification, because I think perhaps that was a point that was confused regarding the audits and whatnot. Thank you for that excellent response. Shannon, one more question for you, and then I think we're going to have to move to a close here. This questioner asks, there seems to be a lot writing on the decision aids that are proposed for development as specified in the Farm Bill. Do you have any insights, or could you provide any more information on who will be developing those decision aids and when they might be available for folks?
Okay, it's very interesting if you think on the past farm bills that when these programs were announced, the individual farm management specialist did a lot of work on developing spreadsheet type decision aids to help producers make decisions. This is the first farm bill that had language specific towards developing those decision aids. So there's been a lot of talk on the street on who's going to apply for those decision aid monies and who's qualified enough to provide those decision aid monies, because the language is pretty specific that they've had to have experience, they have to have a rich source of data to analyze the different policy attributes. And so we don't know exactly what universities are applying for that. There hasn't been a broadly dispersed request for proposals yet on who could apply for those monies, but typically there's been universities that have engaged in very richly in farm bill policy research, Texas A&M, the University of Missouri, to name two that I know of, that have existing computer software systems that would fit with these decision aids. When they're available, I think they're not going to be available until the rules are written in stone, because the decision aid is going to be specific to analyzing the details of the policy program sign-up. So the rules have to be in place, and those rules probably won't be in place till the fall of this year in detail. And so that's the best estimate of the time frame that we can have right now.
All right. Thank you, Shannon, for those for those thoughts there. And again, thanks to all of today's presenters for their excellent observations and clarification on a number of fronts of the various details of how the farm bill will impact producers and growers across the country. So I'd like to close now by pointing out that today's webinar is the last in our series providing an overview on the 2014 Farm Bill. Upcoming webinars that we have planned will address details on the livestock, honeybee, and fruit grower disaster programs, as well as one or maybe several on the decision aids and tools for evaluating producer decisions under the 2014 Farm Bill. So my best advice to you at this point is to stay tuned for details as dates and times become available on those topics. We'd also like to hear from you as members of the audience or others who are interested about any topics or presentations that you'd like to see us offer into the future. You can either send us an entry in the chat pod on the screen there at the lower left-hand side, or you can send us an email to information@farmmanagement.org, and we will certainly take those into consideration as we arrange for and schedule future presentations. Today's program and other recordings from past presentations are available at the Ag and Uncertain Times website. Our team collectively has hosted over 100 individual presentations since we began our efforts back in 2009, and at the URL on the screen, we have posted presenter slide sets, presentation recordings in video and audio-only formats, as well as links to external resources mentioned by various speakers, as well as the companion wiki site that Shannon mentioned in his presentation. So if you're interested in a copy of any today's presentation slides or the recordings for today, we invite you to visit that site for more information. And finally, to close, we have mentioned a number of different URLs in today's program. And in order to provide you with a single reference for all that information, we've compiled a PDF file, which you may now download via the file share pod on the screen. You simply click on the file name listed, and then click the Save to My Computer button at the bottom to download that file to your own desktop. Let me close by again extending our many thanks to all of today's speakers for their first-class presentation on the specialty crop programs, food safety and the Food Safety Modernization Act, as well as the thoughts on the future for Farm Bill programs. I want to thank all of the many sponsors for today's program and their help with the webinar series. Thanks to our Ag and Uncertain Times team and their sponsoring institutions for making the series possible. I'd also like to thank all of you, the participants, in today's webinar conference. We sincerely hope that you find today's content of value in your work, and we hope to see you again in one of our upcoming programs. Until then, we offer you our hopes for success in meeting the challenges of today's uncertain times. Until then, and for Ag in Uncertain Times, I'm John Hewlett.